Helen Clark, the former New Zealand Prime Minister, is in Australia. She's speaking at the annual Jessie Street lunch later today in honour of the trailblazer who championed the cause of women and Indigenous Australians. Helen Clark was PM for 9 years, and until last year she headed up the UN's development program for 8 years. In the wake of the Me Too movement, she'll be talking about the status of women in the world, the apparent impotence of the UN in bringing about peace in places like Syria, and the leadership vacuum being filled by populist leaders. Helen Clark joins us now on the phone from Sydney. Good morning and welcome to AM.
Good morning. Thank you.
President Trump this morning has signed the tariff memo on Chinese imports. What do you think the consequence will be?
Well, the worst consequence is a trade war, which doesn't help anyone. The more I look at what's been happening with jobs in developed countries, the more you see that actually jobs are not so much lost to other countries through trade. They're being lost through technology, and protectionism is never going to defeat technology. We're coming into a world where artificial intelligence, robotics is going to remake the world of work, and that's what we need to be focusing on. How do you equip citizens for that world? Protectionism, in my view, and I think this would be widely shared in Australia, is a step backwards.
Mr. Trump is a pretty unconventional president, the regular tweeting, for example. What impact do you think his presidency will leave on America and the world?
One of the terms I often used to use when I was at UNDP was that we live in a volatile world where uncertainty is the new normal. We live in a disruptive age. So I guess when you look at the sort of continuity of US relations with the world, this is a time of disruption in US relations with the world. And everyone looks at this great country and thinks, well, you know, how do we work with us? How do we work around it? How do we interact with it? There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of disruption.
At a time when trust in democracy is so low right now, right across the world and in Australia, what should politicians be doing, do you think, to renew faith with voters?
I think politicians have to tell it as it is. We have so much spin. We now have fake news, a term we never even heard of really before the last presidential campaign in the United States of America. So voters are getting pretty cynical. They're looking at what's happening with Facebook, for example, how it was manipulated. I think the ordinary Facebook user is saying, hang on, I'm the product. They're selling me. They're selling my profile. This is then turned against me. And it is an incredible irony that an open society like the United States, which has spawned so much innovation and technology and communications like social media, then has it turned against itself. So these are worrying times. And for politicians, I think they have to get back to focusing on authenticity, integrity, because people are worried about what's happening in democratic politics.
I'm interested to hear your view too about what you think about China's extension and reach throughout this region by supporting infrastructure projects. What's at risk for Australia and New Zealand with China increasing its influence in this region?
China's a great power. It's always been a great country in the Asia-Pacific region. It had a navy, probably long before our countries, as we know them today, even existed. So we work with China, we work around China, we build good relations. I think both countries have been good at that. You know, in my time in development based in New York, you could see the impact of Chinese overseas investment and development assistance. It was very, very significant. And it often, well, always actually came without conditionalities, whereas often Western partner countries will put conditionalities on their aid with respect to democratic values and so on. So again, it's another factor. But I think one issue which we can't ignore is that debt that countries take on for infrastructure and other investments needs to be sustainable. And one concern would be our countries taking on unsustainable debt with easy money.
What do you make of the Me Too movement? Do you have much confidence that it will actually lead to practical changes for women right across the spectrum?
I'm rather hopeful because I think Me Too is calling out behaviour, which has always been there, but which women felt they couldn't speak up against. And the first thing to addressing a problem is to expose it. And brave women have done that across all sectors. Who would have imagined when it began with the accusations in Hollywood that it would come all the way to, you know, a university law camp in New Zealand, let alone the biggest law firm. So I think it's positive. It's painful for the women, but they have courage, they're speaking out, and that's a step to attitude change.
You were the second female Prime Minister in New Zealand after Jenny Shipley. Now Jacinda Ardern's the leader and she's expecting a baby. At what point do you think you will be able to say, yes, you have reached equality in New Zealand?
Not for a while yet, but of course at that top political level, women have occupied the Prime Minister's position for more than half of the last two decades. So we're not doing too badly on that score. We're about 38% of the New Zealand Parliament is female now. So we can see the 50% is within grasp. We've got a pay gap in median earnings of about 12%. We have to overcome that. Look, we're moving towards the goal, but I think what Me Too brings up is there's been a lot of hidden issues that we have yet to resolve. The problem of domestic violence, of violence in the workplace or the community, is still a blight on the step towards gender equality. And that is, I think, a very big challenge for developed countries like ours, let alone, of course, violence occurring against women in every country on earth.
Helen Clark, thank you for your insights this morning on AM.
Thank you.